So I just want to also just before we it's our last year, we're not going to finish the whole topic either way, so I don't feel that badly, but I just want to wish everybody a good summer if I don't get a chance to in the end. And also just to say that doing this on Zoom has is obviously second best in terms of being face to face and being in the warm environment of the Young Israel of Jamaica States, our host. But I think that everybody who's participated really deserves, a lot of credit, for sticking with it. And I think that we, Baruch Hashem, have been able to continue and to, march through the topics. And it's been very inspiring to me, frankly, to see whether it's in my regular, YU share or the other shiurim that I give, the fact that technology, has been accessible and been available to do this, but that more importantly, that the people who hear the shiur and who participate in the shiur, have had the patience and the interest, to continue to follow. I think it's it shows how the Torah basically itself says in the end of Devarim that, Torah will never be forgotten, and that Klal Yisrael is always committed, one way or another. Things can ebb and flow, and we always want people to be more engaged and more committed, whether it's in Shmiras HaMitzvos or in Liman HaTorah. But still, whatever the crisis happens to be, and sadly, we always seem to be in the middle of one type or another. The fact that Liman HaTorah and Avodas Hashem continue to march on, despite conditions that are adverse, is I think that's something to take for granted. We're in 3 weeks now, that's a big theme, Bein HaMitzarim, as well. But the past year and a quarter has just been a very good example of that. On the one hand, and at the same time, I think it's an interesting, but also almost a predictable and understandable and good irony. And that is that we've been able to move forward, and we've done it, I think, in a maximal way, given the reality. But it also highlights that, face to face and, the interaction, physical interaction with people is also part of Liban HaTorah, because it's about bonding and binding, people together through a common interest. A common passion, really, not just an interest. So I think on the one hand, we can say Yashar Koach, to the group, and at the same time we can look forward, to a more traditional setting going forward. Okay, anyways, so the topic that we began was a very, very massive topic. Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll try to find another time, maybe before Yom Tovim, to discuss parts of it. That's actually a great idea. There's a Rosh Hashanah, application, as there is almost every other mitzvah application, as we'll soon see, to what we're discussing. But let's just run, get back to where we were. There were three things that I think I identified that I wanted to touch on in this share. So the Gemara starts here on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, talking about Bedikas Chametz, and that part I think we touched at least sufficiently. Three lines from the bottom, that a person involved in Bedikas Chametz should be also making a bracha when he does that. Interesting, instead of Livdok or Al Bedikas, the bracha is the bracha of Al Bir Chametz, which raises very interesting questions about the relationship between Bedika and Bir, a topic we've discussed throughout the year, as well as the nature of both of them, because some of the Rishonim, as we've explained, in order to explain this Nusach HaBracha, which is a little surprising, it's not surprising to us because we do it every year, so it's we take it for granted. But when you think about it, there's a double question, and that is, why aren't we saying Bedikas Chametz on the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, and why aren't we making the bracha Bir Chametz at the time of actual Tashbisu, when we burn the chametz or get rid of it in some other physical way? And the fact that we don't is surely significant about these interrelationships, which we have been discussing all year. That one of the suggestions that is made is that the language of Beor has two very different meanings. One, of course, is destruction. When we talk about Tashbisu, Sreifa, even Hashpasasa B'chol Davar, we're talking about destroying the Chametz. But there's another meaning from the Parsha of Vidui Maisros, and the Rishonim quoted here, prominent Rishonim, Sifras de Berashi, and others, and that is Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis. Sometimes the word Biarti means to extricate, meaning to expel, to make a place, a zone that is free of a certain kind of substance. We say about, I took care of my Maisra obligations. Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis. Not Khalil, I destroyed it, but it's not here anymore. I've expelled, meaning I've taken care of it. So there are some Rishonim who think that the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz uses the language of Biur because the main point is to make the Chametz no longer part of your home. In other words, to make your home a Chametz-free zone. That's an issue we've discussed all year. And it comes up again in Daf Tes when the Rishonim talk about Bedikas Chametz Nitkana LaSafek, something we had touched on, and we talked about Masker and Socher. That is that why don't it seems from the Gemara Daf Tes and Daf Yud, the Gemara has all sorts of really interesting cases of Safek. Let's say, you see an animal pick up a piece of Chametz, right, and you're not sure, which home he went into. And you already did Bedikas Chametz. Do you have to do Bedikas Chametz again? Those kind of questions. Where there, it doesn't matter if the suffix was created by Mokom Kavua or Parish, what's called Kavua Kemachza Machza. So a lot of the Rishonim in those places say, if we're really talking about Bedikas Chametz, we should apply the rule, since most people think Bedikas Chametz is Drabanan, not the Ritva here, but most people. And certainly if you did Bittul, then Bedikas should be Drabanan, not the Gemara says. So why don't you say Sveka Drabanan Lakula? So what's the Gemara talking about? So the Ravid came up with a very fascinating principle that the Rambam earlier seems to have adopted as well, and that we talked about briefly on Daf Daled, and that is the Ravid's formulation is Bedikas Chametz Nitkana Ala Safek, that the rule of Sveka Darbanan Lekula doesn't apply to Bedikas Chametz because the whole Bedikas Chametz is to make sure that you're not even in a state of doubt. So this particular Drabanan is all about, making sure and neutralizing any question. So the regular rule doesn't apply. So part of what the Ravid says is, after all, anytime Chametz is brought into a place which needs to be a Chametz-free zone, so by definition, it's not a Chametz-free zone anymore, even if you're not sure whether something happened to it afterwards. Like the question in the Gemara is, an animal brought chametz into a house that you already did bedikas chametz on, and the suffix is, did he also eat it? Because he might have eaten that chametz. He was in his mouth. Did he leave it there, or did he eat it? So the Ravid says, bedikas chametz nitken al suffix. But he says more than that. He says, because the real bedikas chametz is about the makom. So the second that the makom has been compromised, meaning we're not sure whether the previous bedika stands up or not, whether it's still maintained. So then by definition, it's no longer a chametz free zone. So why am I telling you that? Again, so a bodek tzarech shivarech. So you have to, there are basically two approaches in the Rishonim to explain why it is that we make the bracha beer when we're doing bedika. One is that bedika and beer are part of one larger process, or that bedika provides the be'en, to be able to accomplish, the beer. You find the chametz and then you burn it. Or it dictates that you don't need to do beer chametz, and therefore that's also kind of a beer chametz. So that's one approach in the Rishonim, and that approach assumes that bedika is step one, or maybe by definition, a pre-step, which is different than saying step one. It's either the beginning of the process or the preparation for the process. And therefore, It's like other mitzvos, that have more than one stage. There are some Rishonim say something similar about Ishus, right? There are two parts of Ishus, Erusin and Nisuin. It is not true for the Rambam, what I'm about to say, but it is true for some of the Chachmei Sfarad, Ramban, Rajba. They just say it in different ways. So they say, why? The part of the problem is that in the Nusach HaBracha of the Birchas Erusin, we also make reference to the Chuppah. Actually, we give preference, priority to the Chuppah. Asher Kedeshanu B'Tosef V'Tzivanu Al Arayus V'Asar Lanu Es Harusos V'Hitzir Lanu Es HaNusuos Lanu Al Yidei Chuppah B'Kiddushin. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yidei Chuppah B'Kiddushin. So this is a big question in the Rishonim always. How can we mention Chuppah when we're making the Bracha on the Erusin? And why do we mention it first? So I think there are different answers. Very important question. But the Ramban, who the Imei, Ramban's base medrash, basically says, because the bracha is really on Kiddushin and Nisuin. We make it at phase one, but the way the Ramban puts it, the Ikar is the phase two. It's the Gemara Davar, the Chuppah. Again, I don't think the Rambam thinks this is true at all, but that's not for now. But so in a similar way, some Rishonim think that, the Bedika and the Beer are all part of the same general process. And you make the Bracha at the time of phase one, or the time of the preparatory phase. But the Nusach HaBracha is going to reflect the Ikar, which is phase two. But the other explanation is, no, it's not the Bracha on Beer Chametz at all. Or at least it's ambiguous and it's both, but it's a separate bracha on bedika and a separate bracha on bir. But that the bracha on bedika is based on biarti akodesh min habayis, not the destruction of the chametz, but the establishment that your home is a chametz free zone. So biarti akodesh min habayis. It just looks like, so maybe the bracha according to those Rishonim only applies to bedika, or it applies to Bedika and Bior, but separately with the intentional ambiguity that when you say the words Bior Chametz, you mean two totally different things. You mean, number one, I'm making a bracha on the Bedika, Bior Teh Kodesh Men Abayis, and it's also going to be Chal on the Bior, the actual, Tashbisa. Anyways, what we discussed last week was one other problem, and that is why would the Gemara have to tell us that HaBodek Tzarech Shivarech? It's obvious, it's a mitzvah, and every mitzvah requires a bracha. What's the yichus of bedikas chametz that we have to spell out this universal truth? So again, the way that Rishonim answers questions is very telling, very reflective of different approaches that we've seen all throughout the year. Some of them say, because it's only a hachana and a hechsher, it's not so obvious to make, maybe only make a bracha on real mitzvos, not on a hachana and a hechsher. And others say, or maybe because it's a negative, really. I mean, you're making sure chametz isn't there. It's not kiyum, is it? That's an interesting question. If you focus on the zone, on the makom, so you are purifying or purging your domain. That's a positive. The point isn't that you're expelling chametz or ensuring it isn't there. Of course it is, but it's more than that. What you're doing is you're creating a shame by hispaduk. By doing, you're purging or purifying your rishus. But we thought the havamina was, no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is you're getting rid of chametz banner. You make sure that it isn't there, that's all. And if you do find it, you'll get rid of it. You'll throw it away or you'll burn it. So maybe it's more like an Yisra, say, it's more like a lav than it is a mitzvah. Maybe you shouldn't make a bracha. So there are all sorts of different answers in the Rishonim. If you look, the Ritva, I think we saw some of them last week. The Ritva, the Rosh, the Tosa Rosh, the Ran. It's worth looking at. And especially the question is, and Lamaskana, when the Gemara does, okay, now we know why we need it to be told. What are we being told? that assessment of Bedikas Chametz is wrong, and really it's a mitzvah and a kiyum and and so on, like I just said, or that assessment is correct, but even that requires a bracha. So these are the questions. Okay. Anyways, that's question number one. Question number two is to figure out what is Birchas HaMitzvah anyway. Right? The Gemara here then goes on to discuss the Nusach HaBracha, which we'll get back to. The Gemara says, Rapapi Amar Mishmeid Rava Levar Chametz, Rapapa Amar Mishmeid Rava Al Bir Chametz. There's a machlokas whether you say Al Bir or Levar. And the Gemara says, Bilavar Kulam Alo Pligi Devadai Lahaba Mashma, Ki Pligi Baal Bir. And then the Gemara goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we were last week and I want to make sure I have time to cover a couple of points. But in the end of the Gemara says, Vehilchasa Al Bir Chametz, that the Nusach is Al Bir Chametz. And then the Gemara says, "Dekulama mimi kar biinon levruche minalon." How do we know you have to make a bracha at all? Says the Gemara, "Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel kol mitzvos mevarech aleihem over la siyasan." Then the Gemara says, "My mashma dhai over lishadag dumehu." How do you know over means in advance, before? Says the Gemara, "Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Kra vayaratz achimatz derech hakikar beavor sakushi." Abayam or Mehachav, who avar lifnehem. Eboy say Mehachav, Yavar Malcolm lifnehem, Vashem Berosham. Either way, the conclusion is that Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchim Aleim Over Las Yasan. I know that Leon Well had wanted to share a Nitziv with us, so we'll give him the opportunity. Right? The Nitziv in Parshas Vayelach. You there? We'll get him back maybe later. Maybe stepped out for a minute. Anyways.
I'm here.
There. Do you want to share the Nitziv?
I thought you would be doing a better job.
No, I don't think that's possible.
So the Nitziv is in Vayim Lamed Aleph Vayelech on the Pasuk Gimel. It says, Huo Ver Lefanecha.
Correct.
And then the Gemara brings two Lashonos. Vayaretz Achimatz Derech HaKikar. By Yavar Sakushi, so a little historical background is that when Avshalom was killed, Sachimatz sent the Kushi ahead to tell David HaMelech that Avshalom was dead. And then, by Yavar Sachimatz, Derech HaKikar, and by Yavar Sakushi. So that's one event. And the other one is the Hu Avar Lifnehem. By Yavar Malkom Lifnehem, by Hashem Baroshom.
Right.
So when the king goes forward, so of course he goes in front of the tzava, and the tzava is about to attack the enemy. So it says v'hu v'yavor malkam lifneim. So the nitziv is disturbed here that the Gemara wants to know what this over lesiyosan means, and how do you know it's lishna daktumi? How do you know it means that it has to come before the event? So the Nesif says that's ridiculous. The Gemara has to bring a Yalfuso. Why didn't the Gemara just say the Kol HaMitzvahs, you have to make a bracha lifneim?
Right.
Okay. So the answer is because the two limudim teach you two different things. One of them is that by Achimatz, the Kushi was already going ahead, and Achimatz was behind the Kushi, and then he jumped in front of the Kushi. The second event is about the king on the Gvul. So the king doesn't go to the Gvul until the army is already assembled at the Gvul to attack the enemy, and then the king goes in front. So the Nesi says that there are two dinim in Over Lasiyosan. Some mitzvahs, you have to make the bracha in advance because it's impossible not to make the bracha in advance. Like Kiyuv Shofar, Achilas Matzah, you can't do it in the middle. You can't make the bracha in the middle of the event. But the other mitzvahs, like putting on tefillin or milah, that you can begin the mitzvah, make part of the bracha in advance, and then finish it afterwards. So the two psukim refer to the two types of over lasiyosan. In the event where the Kushi was going in front of Achimatz, and then he went in front of the Kushi, so that's symbolic of a mitzvah where the actual kiyuma mitzvah is in the middle. There's a haschala, you make the bracha, but you don't finish the bracha.
Right.
You do the maisa, and then you complete the bracha. So when you put on tefillin, you should make partial bracha before you finish the hanacha, and then finish the mitzvah, finish the bracha when the hanacha is already completed. The other one is where you have to make the bracha in advance, because the king does not go in front of the tzava until the mice is already completed. The army's on the gvul, and then the king goes in front.
So there you want to emphasize, I think what he emphasizes there, yeah, is that you don't want to go too early.
No, that's true.
Meaning that's the principle. The real truth is that both things that the Nitziv says.
That's why you cannot say lifnei. Why didn't say just lifnei? Right. Because lifnei could mean that you could do the bracha way.
Kodem and lifnei mean way in advance. Could be anytime.
You have to do it samuch.
Right.
The form of the bracha is depending on these two lashonos.
Right. Okay, so we're going to get back to those in a second. But just very briefly, I should call, thank you. And I think you get a mazel tov?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. So the two points that the Nitziv makes are very interesting. And of course, what the Nitziv zeroes in on is like a certain principle, which is very close to my heart, which is the idea of intentional ambiguity. But basically saying is you could have taken an unambiguous term, but the term over has more than one meaning, and we want, you know, both of those meanings. So right. One is that it shouldn't be too early. That, by the way, is the principle in halakha that's known as it should be over lasiyasam, but not over the over. Like, this is the problem with lulav a little bit. You know, the Gemara says, the Gemara says here that mida agbe nafakbe. So why don't you make the bracha, you know, before you pick it up? The Rambam actually thinks in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, and he alludes to it in Hilchos Lulav as well, that maybe you would make the bracha before you pick it up. But other Rishonim didn't like it. They felt it was too early. That's over the over. Or like shofar, that's a big issue in shofar. Can you make the bracha on Tekiah Shofar, you know, before you're holding the shofar? Right? There are all sorts of examples of it. So that's the over the over. That's one of the Nitziv's ideas. The idea of making the bracha in the middle in some cases is also, we'll see in a moment, that's a debate between the Riva and the Ravya. We'll see that discussion in the Ravya in just a couple of minutes. So it's a very interesting perspective. Anyways, you have this requirement to make a bracha over Lasiyasa. So the question is, how do we understand this din relative to other brachos? I think I mentioned last week that the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Aleph already explains that, of course, Birchas Hanenin, there's something called Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, Birchas Hamazon Doraisa, of course, but also the brachos that you make, you know, on thunder and lightning and other natural phenomena. You make those brachos afterwards, typically, right? You have the experience, and then you make the bracha. Then you have Birchas Hanenin, right, the bracha lefaneha, you're about to eat bread or wine or, you know, a shahakol, whatever it is, and there you make the bracha in advance. If you don't make the bracha in advance, the Gemara says, "Kol nenim ol mazeh b'lo bracha rezema." So there are two, if you will, paradigms of brachos. One is the birchas nenin, which is over, you can say, or lifnei. And the other one is the bracha l'achra, birchas shavach and hodah. The Gemara here is telling you that birchas hamitzvah, all things being equal, is lefanav. It's over. But what the Nitziv's contribution is, and we'll see in a moment, that it has echoes earlier in Rishonim, as I just alluded to, is like, is it really befanav? Okay. Or is it just that it shouldn't be l'acharav? What about in the middle? And how early, you know, can it be lefana? So making the bracha in the right time is a very tricky issue, a very controversial issue. Like the Rishonim seems to have two deos. Is it better to make it in the middle or in advance? And that seems to be the machlokes of Rishonim too. So, or maybe it depends on the particular bracha. But the bigger question is the bracha lefanav like Birchas Hanenin? Or, you know, they share that characteristic, but that's where, you know, the comparison ends, and I'll explain it in just a second. Moreover, on the other side of it, the Gemara here, our Gemara, says that there's an exception. Originally, the Gemara thought that shofar actually and tvila were the exception. The Gemara says, Umri, right, the Beirav Umri, chutz b'na tvila v'shofar. Then the Gemara says, Bishlam tvila kati gabri l'chazi, el shofar mai taima, v'chei teimam shun tilma mekalkala tkiya, yachaf yil shchito mila nami. El rav chizah chutz b'na tvila bilvad. It namar hachi, tovu v'yala bal yasa, mar baruch hashaket shom tzatzav tzivanu, al ha-tvila. So tvila, the Gemara originally thought that interesting that shofar and tvila were exceptions. That's a strange hav. I mean, maybe if we do this something before, that shiur in August, maybe we'll talk more about that. So, but the Gemara's conclusion that it's only tvila. But even in tvila, there's a major, major debate among the Rishonim. You have it here in Tosis. Look at Tosis very quickly. Tosis says Omerach. Ala tvila, omarach b'shem gaon, da'afka b'tvilas ger de lo chazi kodim tvila de lo matzi l'meimer v'tzivanu takati nachrihu. When we say that you can make a bracha on tvila after, not kodem, it's only tvilas ger because you don't have any choice. He's not Jewish, doesn't have conditions to Israel, he can't make a bracha. Aval shar chai v'tvila kagon balkeri ki yotzebo mutzi l'varech. He can make a bracha in advance. He should make, he has to make a bracha in advance. Can Amina Perak Mishmeso? No Galma. If he can, then he has to. No Galma Kitlasa Savi Krabuda Bibalkari Shachal Espalu Varech Velumot Kodim Tvila. Afa Bikeno Marie, the Ain Ligor Binashim Shim Varchos Achara Tvila, Kimdika Tvila's Ger, the Lamatsin Mavarech, Lo Chilku. So he says, but you shouldn't be upset with the minag that many women had. That when they went to the mikvah, they would make the bracha afterwards. Because since the nusach ha-bracha, ala tvila, is occasionally afterwards, so maybe they regularized it and they made it a low plug that every time you make the bracha ala tvila, it should be afterwards. V'chein ben etzila sedayim, lo chilku ben etzila shalachar beis hakisei, v'lamatzu levarach kodem. Then he says, "Miu benetila yesh tamach elavarech acher netila kodem niguv." Before you dry your hands, kedamina ochal lechem below niguv kila ochal lechem tam. The yesh mafarshim bechol tefilas kamar the gavra lochazi kodem shiorid lamayim and it's aruch levarech duma mishum biatu to the mayim emano velotavil v'acher shiorid asu orum v'asu levarech. So mishum v'liba roasa erva. So what emerges in this tosis, and it's a bigger machlokas rishonim and poskim, is a very remarkable thing. So let me say it in very stark terms. The more we think, there seem to be like, whether it's in the Yerushalmi or the Machlokas or Rishonim that I just mentioned, or this Machlokas, there seem to be numerous Machloksim which seem to be testing the extent to which we are, hardcore committed to the principle of overlasiyasa. In other words, how open are we to exceptions? Okay? So one of them is, let's say you could pull it off. Let's say you could make a bracha in the middle of a mitzvah. Maybe you just can't make it afterwards. And maybe the reason you can't make it afterwards is also because it's too late. It's not mitzurah anymore because it's all about the chiyuv and the mitzvah and it's done. But lu yitzuyar, there was a way to be mitzaref afterwards, like in tefillah. Maybe you could. So there's an argument about the middle. There's an argument whether tvila, which is the exception, can be expanded. There's an interesting argument between the Rambam and the Or Zeruah, which we're also going to discuss in a couple of minutes. Let's mention now. The Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos, Perakid Aleph, and again in Perak Gimel Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Chav Dalet, that when you're supposed to make a bracha over Lasiyasan, and you don't, and the mitzvah is already over, that you can't make the bracha anymore, even b'di'evet. In other words, let's say you were Makadish and Isha. According to the Rambam, you're supposed to make Birchas Eirusin in advance. Not everybody agrees, but that's how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam says, let's say you didn't. So the Rambam says, Masha Nasa Nasa. If you were to make the bracha after the Kiddushin, even if it was prior to the Nisuin, there would be a bracha levatala. Because the Rambam says the din of overlasiyasan is hardcore. Tefillah is the only exception. And tefillah is just because of yafshar. The Ram doesn't think it's better in the middle. The Ram says if you have a mitzvah that continues, like tefillin and tzitzis, you can make the bracha afterwards b'di'eved because it's still prior to the next part. It's not after. It's not over. Either the kiyum ha-maisa, if not the maisa itself, continues, or maybe the maisa itself continues, like you're wearing tefillin. So you were wearing tefillin 10 minutes ago, and now in the next 20 minutes, you're going to continue to wear tefillin. So for every minute that you're wearing tefillin, it's over Lasi Yasson. But if it wasn't over Lasi Yasson, says the Rambam, it would be a bracha levatala. The Or Zarua, we'll see part of it in a minute, disagrees. The Or Zarua says that b'di'eved, you can make a bracha l'achar. He says, after all, if you couldn't, then how could we explain that tvila is an exception? From the exception, we see even b'di'eved about the klal. And the Rambam obviously thinks that's not true. The Rambam thinks that tefillah is a hard exception. It's not an exception that proves any flexibility, even b'di'eved, about the rule. So we have a bunch of arguments, all of which basically lead us. I'll give you more. So the Ravid is of the opinion that whenever there's like a chashash of bracha levatala, you'll make the bracha afterwards as well. For example, the Ravid holds that maybe you should make the birchas erusin after the kiddushin. He says, what if you make the birchas erusin, then you pop the question, you say, arayat mukudashasli, and she says, no. Right? That would be a bracha levatala. Better to say arayat mukudashas. Hopefully she'll say yes, or she won't say no. And then you make the bracha. Or mila. So some people get queasy. The moel will get queasy. So maybe he's going to make the bracha, and then he starts doing the mila, and he realizes that, whenever he sees blood, he's going to faint away, or whatever it is, and that he won't do it. It'll be a bracha levatala. And of course, we don't pask in that way, but again, because of a chashash bracha levatala, you're going to ignore the mitzvah of you're going to ignore the requirement of over lasi yasa.
That could be the reason why you don't make a bracha on straka.
Well, there are other reasons, right? Some people say but l'chaveiro. Right, some people say, some of the Rishonim do say that if the ani were to refuse, that would be a bracha levatala. This is the in the famous tshuva of Yosef ibn Palat, to the exchange between him and the Ravid's father-in-law, the Ravi Avad. We talked about it like actually the beginning of last year. We learned Cholin that this is the big question: how come certain mitzvos require a bracha and certain mitzvos do not? So some say the difference between Ben Adam Malkom and Machaveiro. Some people say mitzvos tmidios and mitzvos that are more lizman. And others say, yeah, but you did what some people explain tzedakah because of, the problem of bracha levatala. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is I've just, rattled off about four or five different issues where there seems to be two schools of thought in the Rishonim about how hardcore the requirement of over lasi yasan is. And as we'll see in a moment, in a way, it's interesting, I'm going to quote the, hold on one second. Just the Tosas HaRosh in Psachim here, discussing the problem of Lulav. So again, Lulav, the way the Gemara talks about Lulav, I skipped it today, but we read it last time, was that initially at least, the Gemara says about Lulav, mid'agbe nafakbe. The issue with lulav, you say al netilas lulav, is because as soon as you pick it up, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. So I think I mentioned already last time that there's a massive machlokas rishonim on that too. The Bali Tosas and many of the Chachmei Sfarad are, they're kind of a little bit disbelieving. Either they think this is only the Hava Min of our Gemara, or they think even in the Hava Amina Bar Gemara, it's not really true. Look at, for example, on Tosis on the page here, Be'idni da'af the agma nafik bay. Tosis says, Vim tomar, given the nafik kechi barech, ala tzarech levarech over lasi yasan. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying, well, Zalad Minim is an exception to the rule. Just like maybe shofar they thought was, and they do think tefillah, and we're discussing how much tefillah is an exception to the rule. So the simple pshat is that the Gemara says in Elula, Midag Benofik Pei. But Tosis can't abide it. Tosis says, that can't be. What happened to Overlas Yasan? Omari, Afagav Denofik, Akati Osek, Shetzar Chunanea, Bekriya Sahala. You have to do the Nanuim in Hala. Then comes the next Tosis, where Tosis talks about, you know, holding it upside down, having Kavana Lalatzeis. I told you the Rambam says you leave it on the table. Some people say you pick up one min, but you leave the other three, or you pick up three and you leave one. All sorts of strategies. So there's a group of Rishonim, even in the Hava Amina of the Gemara, and certainly the Maskana, who think that even though it's Midag Be Nafak Be, nonetheless, there's Overlas Yasan and Lula. However, I'm not sure that that's the Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Brachos actually says that there are two ways to do the mitzvah, and that the nusach habracha will change depending on how you do it. Whether you say litol lulav, Ram says if you make the bracha over lasiyasan, then you should say litol esalulav. He says most people don't because midag be nafak be, so they say al natilas lulav. But it sounds like the Ram's okay with al natilas lulav. It's very strange, but. Oh, anyway, the Tosa Rush, when he asks this question, he asks it in a very interesting way. Bim tomar hov nafak kvar hech yivarech al asiyas ha-mitzvah. Same question. But listen to what he adds. The chim shachach v'lo birech bori priagafen kodim shtia yivarech achar shtia ala kol ha-mitzvahs mivarech aleim over la-asiyasan. This is a very strange Tosa Rush. Tosa Rush says, if you make a bar priagaf, if you don't make a bar priagafen and then you finish drinking, are you going to make a bar priagafen after you completely finish drinking? Halo kolamitzos mevarach aleim over lasiyasa. And then Tosas gives the same answer. Tosas Rosh gives the same answer about the nanuim. Why am I interested in this? The way that Tosas asks the question is they're asking from birchas hananin. Is it fair to quote Birchas Hananin when you're talking about Birchas HaMitzvah? First of all, it's not clear that that's the halacha on Birchas Hananin. We'll get to that in just a second. But even aside from that, is maybe that a proper...
Maybe he's talking about Kiddush.
No, he's not talking about Kiddush. He's talking about the Gemara.
Why Borei Priyagofen?
No, that's a Gemara. That's a Gemara in Brachos, Tafnun Aleph. And that Gemara in Brachos is talking about bread and Muyayin, but it's not talking about Kiddush.
Oh, okay.
The Gemara in Nun Aleph. So we'll get to it in just a second. So it's very interesting. So I think I mentioned last week that the Rav used to be Medayik from the language of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, where the Rambam says, if you look here on page... What page is it? 6? Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Right? So the Ram says, "Kashem shemavarchen al ana, kach mavarchen al kol mitzvah mitzvah, v'acha kach yase osa." Remember, because we have two paradigms. This is the point I want to make. You have brachos in advance and brachos after. Brachos in advance, Birchas Hananin. Brachos after, lightning, thunder, also Birchas Hamazon, Shevach v'Hodah. Right? So the Rambam says an amazing thing. The Rambam thought, this was very significant. Not just that the Rambam saying, oh, by the way, just like there's in advance with Ana, there's in advance with mitzvahs. Kishem shem v'orchen al-na, kach v'orchen al-kol mitzvah mitzvah, v'yakach yasa osa. Then he adds, u'brachos rabos tiknu chachamim derech shevach v'hodah, derech bakasha, lizkar saborei tamid, afo bishalo ne'enev lo osa mitzvah. then there are things called Birchas Hanen and Birchas Shavach V'Hodah, right? Lizkor HaBorei Tamid. And then the next halacha, by the way, halacha Dalet, repeats that language, very beautiful language. Nimsu Kol HaBrachos Kulan Gimel Minim, three types. Birchas Hanah, Birchas HaMitzvos, Birchas Hodah, Shehein, Derech Shavach V'Hodah, Bakasha Liz, Kedei Lizkor HaBorei Tamid, L'Yira Mimenu. So again, this language of Lizkor HaBorei Tamid, L'Yira Mimenu, he repeats the next halacha. He likes it very much, obviously. Anyways, the Rambam says there are three categories of brachos. So the Rambam thought when the Rambam says kishem, he doesn't just mean that it's in advance. He means substantively to explain or to link. He's subliminally trying to explain the nature of Birchas HaMitzvah. And that the explanation is as follows. Why do you have to make a bracha in advance when it comes to Birchas HaNenin? Because it doesn't belong to you. You need a matir, right? How can you say that about mitzvahs? What do you mean? The mitzvah doesn't belong to you? So the Rav thought philosophically it doesn't belong to you. Meaning, what gives you the right to approach the Rabbonu Shel Olam? There's a certain presumption in that. I mentioned this a little bit last week. Again, you know, we live in a very different kind of a world. The notion of presumption basically, practically doesn't exist, sadly. I mean, people, you know, chutzpah yazgi. I mean, people grab and they, you know, they don't even think twice about, you know, who they approach or what they ask for. But that's not the world of Torah and Halacha and of Kedusha. In the world of Torah, Halacha and Kedusha, right, especially when it comes to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right, the idea of Liskor Sabore Tamid Viliyira Mimenu, even though it's about Shavach Vahodah, is paramount. So what the Rambam is saying is you can't eat somebody else's food without asking them. That's a chutzpah gedola, that's stealing. So too, on a philosophical level, right, what gives you the right to approach the Rabbonu Shel Olam? He, with a capital H, is a omnipotent, omniscient being, you know, that from a philosophical point of view can't even, you know, imagine, never mind communicate with. And from a ethical and moral and, you know, religious point of view, you should be terrified, you know, to approach him. It should be chutzpah no ra for you to address the Rabbonu Shel Olam, just like addressing, you know, a king, you know, would be, you know, considered to be not just an absence of proper etiquette, but it would be presumptuous, right? That's why you use third person, and that's why, you know, you have to pave the way. So the Rav thought that's what the Rambam profoundly means in those words. Kishem, just as, you know, you need a matir for achila, so too you need a matir for dvarim shebikdusha. What is the matir? Right, you're about to do the mitzvah. A mitzvah is a way of relating to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, right? Who gave you that right, even? Who told you that, you know, that you have that license? The answer is asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav b'tzivanu. He gave us the right. Before you do the mitzvah, you need a matir. The matir is invoking, right, the tzivui. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav b'tzivanu, right? Whatever the mitzvah is, that's the matir. That's a very interesting way to look at it. If you look at the Ritva, actually, the Ritva has a slightly a different perspective, though. Look at the Ritva here, on top of the Rambam, the second Ritva, Kosa Ritva, the Tamze, Shamru Chazal, Levarech al HaMitzvah over L'Asiyasan. What's the reason that we make a bracha over L'Asiyasan? Kedei sheyiskadesh tchila bibracha, v'yigala v'yodia shu osa osa, Mipnei mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. You could fit it into what the Rav's saying, but I don't think that's exactly what he's saying. I think he's saying something a little bit different. And that is, number one, in order to do a mitzvah, I think there's overlap, you need to be on a level of Kedusha. Maybe that's the presumption part. But v'igala v'yodia shu osa some b'nei mitzvah Hashem yisbarach, that could be part of the matir, or it could be that even though mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana, according to most Rishonim, although the Rambam has kind of a complicated psak on that matter, that's because, as the Nitziv explains, a different Nitziv, that, you know, it's implicit when you do a mitzvah that you're miskave. But of course, as the Ramban points out, it's always better to explicate your kavana. And not only that, but it's always better to project yourself as a mitzvah and to remind yourself of the lashma of the mitzvah, that you are a you know, person who is commanded to do this mitzvah. God la mitzvah, you know, viosa yosa mi sheina mitzvah viosa. The Bali Tosis understand that psychologically in Kiddushin. Namely, you know, it's easier to do something voluntarily than it is if somebody makes it, you know, an imposed task. That's how Tosis in Kiddushin explains Gadol HaMetzuvah V'yosa Mimi She'ena Metzuvah. It's counterintuitive. So, oh, you're volunteering. What's better than that? But you're volunteering, so it's your choice. But, you know, if somebody imposes on you, it's always a certain, you know, kind of a rebellious reaction, you know, that you have to overcome. However, I'm not sure that all Rishonim agree with Bali Tosis on that point. And there's another way to look at Gadol HaMetzuvah V'yosa. And that is that being a mitzvah is a darga in the mitzvah. Number one, in the matir of the mitzvah, but also in the mitzvah itself. Part of what is unique about mitzvos is that Klal Yisrael attains the status of being a mitzvah. It's a stature. Not just that, oh, you have to do the mitzvos. It implies a certain relationship, an abdus relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. So I think what the Ritva is saying is, not necessarily the matir idea, but the bracha gives content, whether it's lishma, kavana, emphasizing that you are a mitzvah. The bracha adds to the performance of the mitzvah. It adds elements which enhance that performance. Not necessarily the matir idea, almost shevach v'hodah, but of a time that is tailored to the performance of the mitzvah itself. And then he adds beautifully, the ode, ki abrachos me'avodas ha'nefesh, brachos belong to, you know, the spiritual realm, avodas ha'nefesh, v'roi l'haktim avodas ha'nefesh, l'maisa shu avodas ha'guf, right, the genius of mitzvos, right, what's unique about Yahadus is that there can be physical mitzvos, right, which accomplish a spiritual goal. So he says, in a way, the bracha is kind of a microcosm for that idea. Right? You are kind of articulating the spiritual side before you do the physical side. What I'm trying to suggest is that maybe the Ritva, and if not the Ritva, maybe others, that instead of saying that Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir, maybe what we're saying is that Birchas HaMitzvah is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself. There's a very interesting Tosa Rosh in Brachos, Tav Tezvav. The Gemara there in Brachos seems to say, the Gemara in Brachos does say, sorry, that Birchas HaFrashas Trumas HaMaisros is not Ma'akev. The Brachos is not Ma'akev the HaFrasha. Because it's only Drabanan. So the Tosa Rosh says, well, apparently the Gemara is telling us that if Birchas HaMitzvah had been Doraisa, it would have been Ma'akev the Mitzvah. Like, how can you understand that? Why would a bracha be Ma'akev the Mitzvah? You could say, oh, you didn't make the bracha, so you're missing the bracha. But why would you be missing the Mitzvah? And if you say that, oh, it's the absence of a matir, okay, I mean, I'm not sure that means you don't fulfill the mitzvah. That would be interesting, if that's the pshat. If it's a kind of advanced birchas shevach v'hodah, then certainly it's separate from the actual performance of the mitzvah. But maybe there's an idea that there really are three categories of brachos. Not that birchas a mitzvah is like subsumed under Birchas Hananin, you know, as a matir. Maybe the idea is that the Birchas HaMitzvah brings something to the performance of the mitzvah, whether it's, again, kavana, lishma, being a mitzvah, you know, whatever it is. And had it been daraisa, it would have been ma'akev, because you'd be, you know, with absent it, you'd be lacking some fundamental ingredients of the mitzvah. So I think this is a very interesting question. Does Birchas HaMitzvah really belong to Birchas Shavach Ba'odah? Does it really belong to the matir of Birchas Hananin? Or is it really kind of a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? It's like its own category. In which case it has its own characteristics, its own, you know, dinim, etc. So again, it's very interesting. The Ramban, this one, to see a couple of makoros very quickly. The Ramban is a very long...
If you hold like it's a matir,
yeah,
and you know that mitzvahs, most brachos are midrabanan.
Yeah.
That means midaraisa, you could do a mitzvah. If you want matzah, you could eat matzah without a bracha. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the mitzvah, you don't need a matir. It's if anything, it was added on by the Rabbanan to do the mitzvah. But
that's true for Birchas Hanen too. I mean, the fact that it's Rabbanan and it's ma'akev doesn't prove it isn't a matir. Again, all Birchas Hanen, according to most Rishonim, are Rabbanan. There are some who think that Birchas Hayayin and Birchas Hamotzi maybe Doraisa, but certainly the others are not. And so what happened to Maul and Gezel? The answer is, you know, on a Drabana level. So that's the same thing. That could be the same thing with regard to Birchas HaMitzvah, right? The only thing that's Doraisa, that's clearly Doraisa, is Birchas HaMazon. And Birchas HaTorah, according to the Ramban, in Minya Mitzvos in Sefer HaMitzvos, says that the Rambam should have counted Birchas HaTorah separately. The Pashtus, the Rambam certainly doesn't. There's a debate among the Achronim. Does the Rambam think that Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa, but he thinks it's included in the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Or does he think it's just Rabbanan, you know, which is probably the Pashtus? But, you know, the Gemara does quote a Pasuk, Yishem HaShem Ekroha V'God L'Elokeinu, Adav Chafalef and Brachos. But, you know, most Rishonim think that Birchas HaMitzvah, I'm sorry, the Birchas HaTorah is also Drabanan. So it's very rare to find a bracha that's Daraisa. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't this principle. Anyways, so let's look at two other examples.
When you say it's a matir, then why doesn't every mitzvah, whether it's syphilis, without our differentiation that you happened to mention just a few moments ago, every mitzvah should be a matir. There shouldn't be any mitzvah we could approach without the bracha that people say, who are we to go to do a mitzvah? That should be
right. So again, the answer is that, you know, the matir really is in the tzivoy. I'm suggesting that midrabanan, the requirement of bracha is the need to express that or to articulate that. But if you're asking a bigger question, which I think you are, which is like this, how do you have the right to, forget about the din d'rabbanan and bracha, how do you have the right to do this mitzvah? The answer is whether you're articulating it in the form of a bracha or not, there is a tzivui Hashem and you're following it. I'm just suggesting that the din d'rabbanan of the bracha may be the need to remember that, remind others of that, you know, to articulate it b'shas ma'isa. As far as like how do you have the chutzpah to do this? Because the Torah said, forget about the bracha. The Torah said to pick up talad minim, and the Torah said to blow shofar, and the Torah said, you know, to be mekadesh sanisha. It's because of asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. Even if we don't articulate it in the bracha, that's still the matir. So you could say, oh, great, if that's the matir, what do you need the bracha for? Maybe the bracha is for some other reason, or no, maybe the bracha midrabanan is, you know, is to emphasize this bismano. But the matir comes from, this is why the Rav, by the way, in Lishitasa, this idea of the matir for the Rav and presumptuousness and, you know, religious experience, as he used to call it, you know, requiring sanction is a big theme in all of his writings. And that's one of the reasons that he was so against, people don't realize this, what I call simulations, you know, or what he used to call religious subjectivism. He was very protective even of piyutim. Like, he didn't like people who made up piyutim. He thought only Chachmei HaMasorah could make up piyutim. And, or changing of minhagim or anything. Because he had this acute sensitivity to, mitzvos as opportunities that you shouldn't take for granted. And therefore, you shouldn't try to create, to be boda milibcha, even in all sincerity, to try to create your own, whether it's, simulations or other additions. That's why to him it was such a distasteful and fundamentally wrong approach. They thought, it's the beauty of Torah is that Torah itself, and then at a Rabbanan level, so then the Rabbanan have the authority part of that's also reaches back into Torah, Lasasor, and Shalabicha, to formulate these things in exactly the right way. The Nesachat Tvila, mitzvahs to Rabbanan, Hechen Tzivanu, etc. And therefore, there's always, sanction. But it really comes
from...
How
would that square with the concept of Ulevai Sheis Bal Adam Kol Yom Kulo?
That's a great question. But obviously, the answer is that when Rabbi Yochanan said, Halavai Lam Sheis Bal Adam Kol Yom Kulo, he saw it as an extension and an application of the existing concept, we'll call it of, to make it short, of Tfila Rachmininu. In other words, his understanding of Tfila was such that, you're obligated to do it, X amount of time, once a day, or, Midrabanan, three times a day. But Halavai Ladim Shizbala Kol Yom Kulo, because he thought that, Tfila as a mechanism, the Rambam, when he talks about Tfila as being a Doraisa and a mitzvah, this is sometimes lost on people. He doesn't formulate it as a mitzvah of Tfila, mitzvah hay and sefer mitzvahs. He formulates it as a mitzvah of avodas Hashem, and then he applies it to tefillah and to Talmud Torah, actually, but primarily to tefillah in that context, which I think is important. I think it's a big, you could say, who cares? What's the difference? In the same mitzvah, he says avodas Hashem, and he says tefillah, and he says they're the same. So if A equals B, what do you care if you label the mitzvah A or you label it B? But it matters a lot, right? So Rabbi Yochanan was saying, my understanding of tefillah is that when a person is sincere, and he feels the need, that halavai l'adam sheyispala kol hayom kulo, that the derech, with the mechanism of tefillah, whatever that is, the order, the themes, shavach hodah, bakash, whatever it is, they're an appropriate way and maybe even a preferable way for a person to be spending a lot of his time. But again, that's why the structures are very, very important. The Rav's matir idea was like a catch-all for a lot of things, like Psuka de Zimra, the matir, and the order of this, the orders and order of Shmon Esrei is a structure, is a matir. So a lot of people, that's another matir. But you have to understand what it means. I'm telling you how I understand it. But it goes very deep into the, again, it's very out of vogue, with the modern, sensibility in anything and everything, as well as in sincere religion, frankly. And there's a big problem that we're facing. It's not for now, because I don't want to get, far afield. But the idea that people can be sincere, which they are, and, we should give them credit for the sincerity in many cases. Some people aren't, but there are many sincere people. They want to do good things, but they don't have any understanding of some of these themes, because we're in a time where, you can just say, as long as you're sincere, or even if you're not, but you can just say anything you want, do anything you want, as long as it's in keeping with whatever the political correctness, climate is. But the idea of, you have to prepare for a davar shebikdusha, or for something serious, and you should be, trembling, b'dechilo rechimu, you know, if you're trying to approach the Rabbona Shalom, and that you can only do that within a framework or a fabric of, you know, of framework that he establishes, it's just like, well, you're sincere, so just, you know, jump in. But that's not what Yahadus believes in. It is very structured. It's structured because we want to do things the right way, you know, the mitzuveh way, the way that is directed. And, you know, to understand these differences, lo hare birchas hashavach, kahare birchas hanenim, kahare birchas hamitzvah. That's really a fascinating question. So this issue, I see my time's almost run out. Let me just get in the Ravio and the Yorzarua at least, because it's related to this. And then I'll just make one very quick mention of the Nusach HaBracha, and maybe we will do that for the one before Rosh Hashanah, at least partially. If you look at the Ravya, I'm sorry, if you look at the Gemara in Brachos, Hadaf Nun Aleph, the Gemara itself has this connection, but in the opposite direction. So this is on page 5. You'll tell me which line. Brachos Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Talmud Bavli, Brachos Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Yeah, we'll just take an extra few minutes. Zev reminded me the other day that, we always had the minig, Rabbi High Arbisfeld, Zichron Levracha. You know, we always had the minig to have a little l'chaim, I think, on the last day of the shir. So we can't do that, you know, probably virtually. Oh, you have it there in your hand? Do you have a l'chaim? What? Is that what you have? That's great. So,
you know, I mean, because Rabbi Arbisfeld did it, but this one we should also remember Rabbi Arbisfeld, what he's
100%
this year and for decades.
100%. So so I always have a little extra time because of that, you know. So but Emir Sashem, next year we'll go back to the real L'chaim.
Is it page 6, line 6?
Okay, terrific. So the gives a very important Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bo minem Rav Chista, misha achal v'shasa v'lo birech." Right, whoever ate and drank and didn't make a bracha in advance, right, by accident. In other words, ma'u sheyachsar v'yivarech. What about, you know, making the bracha afterwards? So amar lehu misha achal shum v'recho no deif. Yachsar v'yochol shum acher, k'dei she'recho nodev. Meaning, of course, if you're going to continue eating, you should make a bracha. Just because you didn't make a bracha until now, you shouldn't make a bracha going forward when you're continuing to eat. I mean, why compound your egregious, you know, error? Right? It's bad enough you didn't make a bracha until now, but you're going to continue eating. Of course, you should make a bracha. Oh, but then Ravina took a giant extra step. Am Ravina Hilkach, therefore, right? I told you, I think you always have to be careful about Hilkachs, Klomars and Hilkachs, you know. Afilu Gomar Sudaso Yachser Biyarech. Ravina said, if that's the case, and even if you're not eating or drinking anymore, you should still make the bracha. Why? Isn't there a big difference between continuing to eat? You know, then you're not covered. You continue your eating and you didn't make a bracha. Then you're a thief, would say. Right? So therefore you should steal more. But let's say you're not stealing more. It's done. What's the point after you close the door of making the bracha? So the Hilkach of Ravina is very strange. Obviously, the Tosa Rosh, when he asked the question before, was dismissing Ravina. He wasn't pasquining like Ravina. But anyways, Hilkach afilu gomar sudasa yaksa vivarech. But look what his proof is. Remember, what's he talking about? Birchas Hanenin, D'Tanya, Tova Viola, Omer Baliyasa, Baruch Hashem Kedushanam Tosef Tzivanu, Ala Tvila. So he's comparing Birchas Hanenin to Birchas HaMitzvah. but actually in which direction? Learning nanin from mitzvah. This is where the Rambam got kashem from. The Tosa Rush that we read before was against Ravina, but he was trying to suggest that we go the other way, that we learn Birchas HaMitzvah and its ineffectiveness after the mitzvah from Birchas HaNanin. Totally flipped it to the opposite way. What about Tefillah? Tefillah is an exception. Here, the Gemara is using Tefillah as a paradigm. So in a way, the Tosa Rush and the Gemara in Brachos that he's quoting are parallel opposites. Okay? Then the Gemara says, Velohi, Hasa mikara gavalachazi, Haka mikara gavrachazi, Holvi itchi itchi. The Gemara says, you can't compare it to Tefillah. Tefillah, the guy, you have no choice. So now there are two options. Obviously, the Tosa Rush felt that the direction of this equation, meaning learning Birchas HaNenin from Birchas HaMitzvah of Tevilah, is wrong. But that doesn't mean that there isn't an equation. Maybe the equation goes in the other direction. Maybe you can still learn Birchas HaMitzvah from Birchas HaNenin. And other Rishonim probably thought that the whole thing is wrong. So look, for example, just very quickly at the Ramban. This is going to take another 2 minutes instead of the L'chaim. Look on page... Wait a minute. Page... Is it 2 or 3? The Hevi Odeya. In the second Chiddush Ramban. Zayin Amud Beis, the second paragraph. The Hevi Odeya, is that still page 2?
Page 3, line 31.
Okay, 331. So the Ramban here addresses the issue that the Rambam discusses about three or the categories of brachos. The Hevi Odeya, Shalok Kolal Shmuel Kan, Ela Kolal Mitzvah Skula. When Shmuel said that you make a bracha over La'asiyasan, he was talking about mitzvahs. Aval Shar Birchos, brachos. But when it comes to other categories of bracha, Birchos HaNenin Vaday Kodem Shien Emehen. It doesn't sound like the Ramban is saying what the Rambam said, kishem. He's saying, oh, there's a din of overlasiyas and a birchas mitzvah that has nothing to do with the other two categories. Of course, when it comes to birchas hananin, it has to be in advance, but that's for a totally different reason. I'm adding the emphasis. She'osa li'anus merlam hazeh b'lo bracha. If we're talking about Shevach Vahoda, thanksgiving and praise, could go nosam shemeperek haroah, like thunder and lightning, vadei lav over lasiyasan mevarchin osan, now la'achar mikan. Shein roi lomar kishi skarev liros hayam agadol ye otzeim yodav mevarech veroah, el aroah mevarech v'chein mekulan. That's also very interesting. L'figach nogu l'sadr seyde brachos shal shachris pesach neses, there's a big question in Birchas HaShachar in the morning, right? Is it in response to things that you actually happened and how proximate does that need to be? Or it's time, the phenomenon. The truth is Ramban has a very tepid explanation of why you don't make a bracha over Latsiyasan for lightning and thunder and seeing, you know, the great ocean. He says, what, you're going to close your, we're going to force you to close your eyes, you know, make the bracha and then open them and look. Right? One would have thought that the reason would be more fundamental, and I think for the Rambam than it is. And that is, it's a different kind of bracha. It's a reactive bracha. It's a response to a phenomenon that you experience. Right? Actually, Reb Chaim is to say, or they say in the name of Reb Chaim, in the Emek Bracha of Rabarye Pomeranchik, so he quotes this, that they say in the name of Reb Chaim that even if a person was told by a Navi that he was about to experience some sort of salvation, right, that he couldn't make a Birchas Shevach Vahodah until he actually experiences the salvation. And that's the pshat of the psukim that say, Ashir al Hashem ki gamal alai. Right? Nibachastacha batachti, right? Yogel libi bishuasecha. So this is a very nice, you know, pshat. He says, I rely on the anibachastacha batachti. I rely on the chesed of the Ribbono Shelolam, right? And yogel libi bishuasecha. And knowing that, you know, what's coming, you know, my there's joy in my heart. But Ashira Lashem, the actual Shira, the actual Shavach Vahoda, Kigamal Alai, when I experience it.
So how do we make a bracha Mechayim Meisim? That's part of the Shavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say Mechayim Meisim.
I don't think that's a birchas. That's part of shevach and hoda. Right. That's part of sidur shevach.
Right.
In Shmon Esrei, but I don't. That's not a birchas shevach v'hoda.
But it's part
in the same way of experience. I'm talking about experiential brachos. Things that you don't. Not things that you know. You're not making a bracha on the event of Tchias HaMeisim.
And
Magen Avraham and
that happened to it. Hashem was the Magen Avraham,
right? So and he will be Mechayim Meisim. I'm saying that's a different. That's a description of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not a personal.
So then, what has the Shevach to Hakadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, it's a Shevach that Hakadosh Baruch Hu can do Mechayim Meisim.
Yeah,
will do Meisim.
Yeah.
And that is then giving.
That's not on the. You're not making. That's not Shevach Hodah on the actual Tchias HaMeisim, it's on the fact that it will happen, and that shows a certain tzedek and lack of yeush, you know, in the world, etc. Again, it's context of saying Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem Mechayim Esamata Rav Lohoshia, you know, Somech Noflim Rofei Cholim Matir Asurin Mechayim Esam. All those things are
they are there. They are we all do experience Baruch Hashem.
No, we do, but it's more. The expression of hope and shevach, and you're describing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is kol yachol, and that's why we turn to him, and we ask bakashos, that's the next, going to be the next part, because he has this capacity, and he has the destiny that he'll do these things, but that's not the same as experiencing thunder and lightning, or even a good meal, and saying thank you, or experiencing the Shevach. That's what we're talking about in Ashir Hashem Kingdom Alalai. I'm saying, just like Rofei Cholim Matir Asurim, is not, you're not talking about, oh, he cured me. That's not what it's about. It's, he has that capacity, and there's Haftacha that he'll do that, or that he can do that, and that he will do that. So that part is a totally different orientation. Anyways, so this whole Ramban here, I think, is just very interesting in a way. You know, he sees Birchas Shevach Vahoda differently. He sees it more like, there's not such a big difference between that and Overlas Yasan. Just, what are you going to say? You're approaching the ocean, you should close your eyes and make the bracha and then look at it. You know, but I think for the Rambam and for others, it's a fundamental difference. Anyways, this is a good example where you have three categories of the brachos. So just I want to finish up with the Rav Yon, the Or Zeruah, because they're just on this point, and then just to mention what else there is in the sugya that we're not going to do. But just turn your attention to the Rav Yon for a minute, just more on this question of how different is Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Rav Yon, this is on page 3 still, or 4? Rav Yon Chelik Beis, Simen Tav Reish Tzadi Aleph?
Page 4, 11.
And I will finish in the next couple of minutes. Kol ha-mitzvos v'arach alim olas yasan. Very interesting. And again, this goes back to your nativ, right? Mefarish Mori Rabbi Yitzchak and the Yerushalmi. Mefarish Mori Rabbi Yitzchak Rab Mordechai. Mipi Rabbeinu. Riva. The high over lo balamait milavarech b'shash v'kayim ha-maisa. Right? The nativ number 2. When we say overlasi yasan, that means dafka overlasi yasan, or it means it shouldn't be la'acharasi yasan. But if it's in the middle, that's fine. Maybe if it's even better. It seems to be like 2 days in the Yerushalmi, whether it's better. If it's something which you can do in the middle, kagon mitzvah tzitzis, shemitzvah salesha bakalayom, inami netzilas lulav, sheinotlan also kalayom, o yeshiva besoka shemitzvah salesha bakalayom, akiyosu ben harbe, shein tzarch levarach ala tzitzis betchilas kodim shenisatev. Right? We don't pass on this way, but that's what he's suggesting. Da fila b'shal shemisatev yachal levarach. Rav Yah says, Vani Omer, Delesa. So I think this is incorrect. Over means in advance. There are Sinibir Shalmi, Perkaroa, Mitzos Mamis, I'm a Varachaleim, Biokanamar Obelasias, and Ravunamar Bishasasia. That's what I was referring to. Alma de Over, Lomashma Bishasasia, over means in advance. The Su, this is the main one I wanted to bring. The Garcina Beperek Shalosha Sha'achlu. What's he trying to remember? What's he talking about here? The timing in Birchas HaMitzvah. What's he bringing a raya from? Birchas HaNenin. Bo minei Rav Chizah Shachach V'yachol B'lo Baracha Ma'u Shiachser V'yivarech. Pirushim Nizkar Achar Achila O Be'emtza. Amalahu. Mishachal shum reicho nodev, yachsev yachal shum vi reicho nodev, klomar. Bishoshen izgar tzorach levarech, hamrabine hilkach gamar sudasa. Hare mashma, daf bachila shehe shos levarech, beemtza, meinan over lachila. Even in achila, where you could say you can eat still because he's in the middle of the meal. And still you have to, this is all if he forgets. If he forgets, it's better, if he's going to continue eating, it's better that he make the bracha. But it's better if you make the bracha in advance. The dafka nakat shachach v'yachal. Is that a good raya? No, you could say, because that's because of the matir. Of course, you always have to try to make it in birchas hanenim before. What you can steal a little as long as you're going to say, as long as you're not going to steal at all. What about the bites that you took already that you didn't ask permission for? How could you compare that? But maybe Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe the Mechayiv in Birchas HaMitzvah is Shevach Behodah, but it just can't be after. Or maybe it's to identify that you're a mitzvah, or maybe it's to establish Kavanah and Lishma, right? Yeah. Maybe it's better to do that in the middle, so it shouldn't be too much in advance, overly over. So now look at the Or Zeruah, with this we'll conclude. The Or Zeruah is discussing what happens b'di'eved? You're supposed to make a bracha in advance and you didn't. So b'di'eved, there's nothing to do? Or b'di'eved, you can make a bracha after the fact. So he wants to bring a raya from Birchas Kriyashma. And he wants to compare Birchas Kriyashma and the Gemara in Brachos about Birchas Hanenin to Birchas HaMitzvah. The Kiva de Omar Reish Lakish Lo Yivurilan. I don't know where that is. The Or Zeruah is on page 5 already.
Yeah.
This part. Kiva de Hadar Reish Lakish Lo Yivurilan. Okay, now let's go to Lamadnu Mikan. Can everybody find that? Lamadnu Mikan. The Kol Hecha Shelo Birech Kodem HaMitzvah Mavarech La'achar V'yotze Yidei Bracha. V'raya L'davar Tzvilas Ger. Shemavarach achar tefillah, mishum gaver de lo chazi, mati levarach kodem lachem. Hu adin l'shachach, de lo efshar le levarach kvar over latsiyasa, shemavarach la'achar kach. So, we'll leave it at that. The Or Zeruah, basically, I think I mentioned before, is of the opinion against the Rambam that if you're a Mekadosh Anisha and you're supposed to make the bracha in advance, and you didn't. So the Rambam says, forget it. There's no salvation. you're not going to make a bracha levatala now. So masha avar avar, the kedushin is chal. You lost out on the bracha. And the Arzarua says no. You see from tefilas geirim, and you see from brachos, and you see from birchas kriyashma, that even if you're supposed to make the bracha in advance, b'di'eved, you can make the bracha. So what's he bring proofs from? From birchas shavach b'hoda, from birchas ananin, from tefila. Meaning the Arzarua thinks it's all big one, big cholent. I mean, all the brachos are the same, basically. L'chatchila, you should do this way, you should do that way. But they're not fundamentally different. The Rambam thinks that they're fundamentally different. That each bracha operates in a totally different function, totally different way. And of course, if that's the case, there are other nafkaminas between them as well, which we're not going to go into right now. So the one other thing in the sugya that I really wanted to discuss, but I don't have time, is when do you say al and when do you say lamed? So just to leave you with one thought, there are two major perspectives in the Rishonim. One is the one associated with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam thought that whenever you're dealing with an immediate mitzvah or a mitzvah that's not elongated performance, then you should say al, like al ashkita, al amila. And whenever you deal with something which continues, you should say le. And of course, this triggered massive discussions about specific mitzvos. When you say al, when you say le, are they really elongated or not? Like lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, why you lit the candles? Is the fact that it has to has to burn for half an hour, or Raja Deklarego Manashuk, is that just a shiur in the shemen? Is that a separate din in Persumenis, or is that like an elongated hadlaka? As an example. The other view is the view of the Riva and the Ramban and others, and that is that any mitzvah that you have to do on your own, a mitzvah shebegufo, you say lamed. And any mitzvah that you can farm out or remote control, you can, give it to a shliach to do, you say al. And of course, the bigger idea is that le refers to the chovas agavra and to the maisa mitzvah. That's what le probably means. Al refers to the institution, to the chefta shel mitzvah, to the chalosa mitzvah. And therefore, when you don't need to do an mitzvah directly, but you can farm it out, right? You're not making a bracha on the action because you're not doing the action, or the owner, the mitzvah is not the one who's doing it. You're making a bracha on the phenomenon, on the chefta shel mitzvah. So again, that opened up just a huge discussion about individual mitzvahs, including shofar, by the way. But of course, so many other mitzvahs as well, as to what the proper bracha is and what are the implications, given the proper bracha, of the true nature of those mitzvahs. Okay, so we'll stop here. I want to wish everybody a wonderful summer. And we'll try to pick up with your suggestion to get a shiur in before Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, of course.
What was the matir of Cain v'Hevel in the Torah?
Was the matir of what?
Of Cain v'Hevel.
What do you mean?
What gave them the right, or Hevel, to make a korban?
Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam. First of all, we're talking about an early point in history, but. You might say that that's part of the charge. It's a great question, but you might say that's part of the original charge of La'avda, Ulashamra. Meaning, how passive, right, was Adam, an early man, supposed to be. So the Netziv has a very fascinating comment. He says that, Vayosem, Oso began Eden, when man was created, he was put in Gan Eden. So the Netziv says that, it's curious that a few psukim later it says Vayinicheu again began Eden la'avdo l'shamra. So the Netziv says originally they were put there just lihanos miziv hashchina, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom changed his mind, and he decided that man should be more proactive, la'avda ulashamra, that he had the obligation of working in the world, and preserving the world. I always try to say it just a little bit differently. I don't like the idea of changing. Ribbono Shel Olam changed his mind. So I think there are two stages, or there are two ideas. One is the first idea, lihanos miziv hashchina. But the way of being lihanos miziv hashchina is la'avda ulashamra. So I think that Kayin and Hevel, at least Hevel, understood that part of that wasn't just, you know, working the land, but it was finding, you know, ways, you know, to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But in Achanami, maybe the fact that this is, you know, prior to, maybe part of the problem of not knowing exactly the right methodology to do that and leaving it up to individuals, you know, to their, again, to use the Rav's language, you know, their religious subjectivism as opposed to objective norms, you know, to come up with the right thing. Maybe that was part of the catastrophe.
Right.
And it certainly was a catastrophe. Right. Anyways, I wish everybody a good summer. And I'm sorry we went a little over time. That was our L'chaim.
Probably the real L'chaim
probably tastes better. But, you know, we look forward to picking up in person before Rosh Hashanah.